Well, let's pray before we get into the Word. Lord, we come before you. We thank you for this evening. We thank you that you're here. I thank you for the worship, Lord, that this brings us to your feet. We ask that tonight as we talk about mercy and grace, you would really talk to us, Lord, that you would break down the walls and barriers of our heart so that we could hear and receive from you. And we ask this in Jesus' name. All right, before we get started, I'm going to read something that's it's called the Seven Ages of Marriage. Okay, now this is not how it's supposed to be, but this is how for a lot of people it ends up happening, and we want to make sure it doesn't, and that's why we're having dating, married, and engaged classes to talk about it and make sure that we're doing the right thing. So I'm going to read this to you, and it's kind of a funny thing that's not so funny as you're here. Okay. 7 years ago, the Saturday Evening Post had an article entitled The Seven Ages of a Married Cold. It revealed the reaction of a husband to his wife's colds during the first 7 years of marriage. It went something like this. The first year, sugar dumpling, I really feel worried about my baby girl. You've had the bad sniffles. And there's no telling about those things. With all strep going around and everything, I'm putting you in the hospital this afternoon for a general checkup and good rest. I know the food's lousy, but I'm bringing you in meals from Rosini's. I've already got it all arranged with the floor superintendent. That's, you're a little over at the top, but that's year one, right? The second year, listen, darling, I don't like the sound of that cough. I called Doc Miller and asked him to rush over here. Now you go to bed like a good little girl, please, just for Papa. The third year, maybe you better lie down, honey. Nothing like a little rest when you feel lousy. I'll bring you something to eat. Is there a can of soup in the house? The fourth year. Now look, dear, be sensible. After you've fed the kids, washed the dishes, and finished the floor, you better lie down. The fifth year. Why don't you take a couple of aspirin? The sixth year. I wish you'd just gargle or something instead of sitting around all evening barking like a seal. The seventh year. For Pete's sake, stop sneezing. Are you trying to give me pneumonia? Then it says, the decline of marriage as seen through the common cold, a funny look at a not-so-funny reality. Now, I'm not going to ask you to raise your hands and say, you know, how long have you been married? How do you look at it when your wife or husband's sick? But so many times, marriages allow things to creep in that really ruin and destroy them very quickly. So I would ask that as we go through tonight, mercy and grace and what that is, that we look at ourselves and say, I want it. First of all, you can't, I believe you can't show love if you don't really know the love of God. Do you agree? Because the love of God is so deep. I believe you can't show and give mercy and grace unless you're filled and understand what God's mercy and grace is. What he did for me is amazing. And that's how we're going to be able to understand how we can give mercy and grace to others and even receiving it. Sometimes we can't receive mercy and grace and we want to beat ourselves up because we've never had it happen and don't understand God's mercy and grace. I think I told you guys before, I'm an ex-Italian Catholic from Chicago. Okay, what that means is I knew how to beat myself up and do a lot of Hail Marys and Our Fathers and light candles and stuff, but didn't understand the true forgiveness of God and how he wanted to take us forward and move us forward in that. So I'm going to ask that we relax tonight. It's going to be more like it's just you and me. Okay, and so we're going to talk about how we can receive God's mercy and grace and understand him better. I want you to know that these two are attributes of God. Now, attributes of God are not what God does. An attribute is who God is. Does that make sense? He is mercy. He is grace. He is love. So it's easy for him. It's no dramatic thing for God to do it. It's God. He's mercy and grace. It's us that has to learn and understand God's mercy and grace for us, and how to receive that and give that to other people. God has unlimited mercy and grace. Isn't that amazing? Unlimited mercy and grace. Not just, well, he has some mercy and grace. I don't know how much mercy and grace I have. I could tell you after preparing for this study, I thought I was pretty gracious and merciful. And it's like, man, I've been convicted like crazy. And then I had challenges this week. I was cranky. You could ask my wife. And she had to give me mercy and grace as I was cranky this week. So thank you for that, dear. What I'm going to do is I want to read you something that I found in my research. Then we're going to go through the opposite of mercy and grace, what those are. And then we're going to go through the scripture and say, this is what God says, mercy and grace. Then we're going to take and say, okay, how do we apply this to our relationships? And I do at that point want you guys to interact. So think of a way that you've received or been given mercy or grace from your spouse or for someone else that has really meant something to you, so that we could take that and share it with other people of what to do. You guys willing to do that? Yeah. One of you are, right? Now, really, the last few times we've had interaction, it's been wonderful because people are willing to say, you know, when my husband says or when my wife says, it just is so wonderful because I've had a bad day or this and that has happened. So let's try to do that. Okay, here's what I found in my research to give you a quick overview. According to the Bible, we have all sinned. As a result of that sin, we all deserve death and eternal judgment in the lake of fire. With that in mind, every day we live in an act of God's mercy. If God gave us all that we deserve, we would all be right now condemned to eternity in hell. David cries out, "Have mercy on me, O God, according to your unfailing love. According to your great compassion, blot out my transgressions. Wash away my iniquity and cleanse me from my sin." A plea to God for mercy is asking him to withhold the judgment we deserve and instead grant us forgiveness we in no way have earned. We deserve nothing from God. God does not owe us anything. He doesn't owe us anything. Anything good that we experience is a result of the grace of God. Grace is simply defined as unmerited favor. God favors or gives us things that we do not deserve and could never earn. Rescued from judgment by God's mercy, grace is anything and everything we receive beyond that mercy. Common grace refers to the sovereignty of God in his grace, which God bestowed on all of mankind, regardless of their spiritual standings before him. Well, saving grace is a special dispensation of grace, whereby God sovereignly bestows unmerited divine assistance upon his elected for their regeneration and sanctification. Mercy and grace are best illustrated in the salvation that is available through Jesus Christ. We deserve judgment, but we receive Christ as our Savior. We receive mercy from God, and we are delivered from judgment. Instead of judgment, we receive grace of salvation, forgiveness of sin, the abundant life, and an eternity in heaven, the most wonderful place imaginable. Because of the mercy and grace of God, our response should be falling on our knees and worshiping in thanksgiving. As Hebrews 4:16 declares, "Let us then approach the throne of grace with confidence so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in a time of need." Wow. That's pretty powerful, isn't it? When we realize God's grace and mercy. I mean, obviously, without God's grace and mercy, none of us would be saved. I'm not again going to ask you to raise your hand, but if you're not a Christian, I want you to know that God loves you. He has mercy for you. He wants to give you grace, and he wants you to come to him. If you are a Christian, we need to realize that the only way we're able to come to him is through his love, his mercy, and his grace, and him calling us through that. So I want to look at some antonyms, the opposite of the meanings of grace and mercy first, so we get an idea. And I want us, honestly, to think, okay, do I project any of these in my marriage or in my relationship or those around me? And if you do, die to them. Start thinking, okay, how do I get rid of those? And we're going to talk more about how to do that when we talk more in depth about in the scriptures about mercy and grace. And then how do we actually apply these to each other? Okay, so the opposite of grace would be hurt, being hatred, unkindness, rudeness, cruelty, harshness, unseemliness, disgrace, crudeness, tasteless, coarseness, vulgarity, revenge, merciless, unkindness, ugly hurt, denounce, embarrassment. We embarrass when we're not giving that mercy and grace. Evil, disfavor, unkindness, humiliate, reduce, ruin, indecency, rudeness, meanness, sarcasm, shame, and vengeance. Some of the opposites of mercy are disdain. A lot of them you're going to see are pretty similar or the similar words, right? Because we receive mercy and grace. The opposite is not so nice stuff. Disdain, meanness, harshness, cruelty, again, vengeance, ruthlessness, revenge, retaliation, intolerance, callousness, heartlessness, sadism, brutality, uncompassionate, grudging, hatred, inhumanity, malice, violence, unkindness, power, nastiness, roughness, spite, spitefulness, sternness, viciousness, inhumaneness, unmercifulness, hard-heartedness, reprisal, barbarity, savagery, zero tolerance. Now, I'm not sure what this one means. My wife has green eyes, so it says green-eyed monster. What does anybody know what that means? Jealousy. Huh? Jealousy. Okay, thank you. I thought green-eyed monster. Okay, I need to ask someone. I didn't have a chance to ask my wife, so thank you. So it's jealousy. Okay, so not such good stuff, huh? My wife's not a green-eyed monster. She's a green-eyed angel. So. If we have some of those in our heart, I'm going to ask you to just think as we go through the Word and God's Word on mercy and grace and ask if God wants us to change anything so that we could be more pure with Him. I went through over 500 scriptures on mercy and grace. And I'm telling you, I mean, what if we do this? We can start dessert fellowship in like 5 minutes. If you guys promise me you're going to go home and read all 500 of those scriptures. I didn't think you'd do that. So I figured we're not going to be able to do that. I literally had 48 pages of notes. Then I cut it down to 33 pages of notes. Then I cut it down to 23 pages of notes. And now I have 17 pages of notes. Now, part of that is because I'm just going to be reading God's word to you. I don't mean just going to be. But when I read God's word to you, it's powerful. And it's going to speak to us. So that's what I'm going to probably do. But I promise you that if you could learn and understand God's grace and mercy, your life will change. And it'll change all the lives of those around you. Because they're going to look at you differently. And you're going to look at everybody and every situation differently. So as we go through scriptures, I'm going to be basically just reading scriptures to you about mercy and grace. I want you to just hear them, let them marinate in your heart, and then we're going to talk about, now how do we apply those to our marriage? How do we make them practical? And I've got a couple things bullet item right now, 33. But I'm going to ask you guys first to really tell me what that means to you. So we're all in. We're just sitting here like some of you are having coffee, some water, and we're just relaxing, going to talk about God's mercy and grace now. Very first in Genesis, it said, Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. And what happened? Because Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord, he was saved, right? Psalm 48:11, the Lord God is a sun and shield. The Lord will give grace and glory. No good thing will he withhold from those who walk uprightly. You see a theme, too, through this, that God's giving grace and mercy, but there's things we need to do, too. He wants us to be right and purified in him. Proverbs 3:34 says, "Surely he scorns the scornful, but he gives grace to the humble." John 1:17, "For the law was given through Moses, but grace and truth came through Jesus Christ." As we know, the law was judgment, right? And Christ came to free us from that and give us the grace and mercy so that through him dying, we could all come to the Father. Acts 20:33, "So now, brethren, I commend you to God and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up and give you an inheritance among all those who are sanctified." Romans 3:24, "Being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus." Again, if you don't know Christ, he wants you to come to him today. He wants to freely give you the free gift of his son. He's going to give you grace and mercy. He's going to refine you, and you're going to watch your life change. So if that's you today, think about these scriptures, and let's talk afterwards, because God wants to bring you to himself tonight also. Romans 5:20 says, "Moreover, the law entered that the offense might abound. But where sin abounds, grace abounds much more." If we could think of that in our relationship, where sin abounds, grace abounds much more. Are we doing that? Are we making sure we're giving grace? Romans 6:1, "What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound?" Romans 6:14, "For sin shall not have dominion over you, for you are not under the law, but under grace." Romans 6:15, "What then? Shall we sin because we are not under the law, but under grace? Certainly not." You know, excuse me. It's his goodness that draws us to repentance, right? I think we talked about that a couple months ago. And if we love God, we won't take advantage of his grace. Does that make sense to you guys? In other words, I know God's grace is there for me. I know his mercy is there for me. But it's his goodness that draws me to do the right thing and to make sure that I'm right before him and he could use me in a proper way. I'm not going to want to sin because I know the grace is there. Instead, I'm going to say, "Lord, help me to be right and help me to do the right thing." The same in our relationships with our spouses. We want to make sure that we are not saying, "Well, they're forgive me." And we'll talk more about that later. So, it's not a big deal. She'll forgive me. Or he'll forgive me. Let's not do that. Romans 12:6, "Having then gifts differing according to the grace that was given to us, let us use them." God's given us gifts by his grace. Are we using the gifts that he's given us to minister to other people? Or are we hiding those things? It's really important. Corinthians 15:10, "But by grace of God, I am what I am." That's Popeye, right? "And his grace towards me was not in vain, but I labor more abundantly than they all, yet not I, but the grace of God which was with me." We might labor, but we're laboring knowing that God's grace is there with us to bring us through everything that we do. Was that a phone? Wow, okay. That's a tag on one of the next scriptures, right? That's a good ringtone. Anyway. "But as you abound in everything, in faith, in speech, in knowledge, in all diligence, and in your love for us, see that you abound in grace." We've seen over the months as we've gone about forgiveness and love and so on that God wants us to do those. He also wants us to have grace for people. We need to continue to do that. Ephesians 1:7, "In him we have redemption through his blood and forgiveness of sin according to the riches of his grace." Ephesians 4:29, "Let no corrupt word proceed out of your mouth, but what is good for necessary edification, that it may impart grace to the hearers." Let me read that one again. Let no, not some, not a little, let no corrupt word proceed out of your mouth, but what is good for necessary edification, that it may impart grace to the hearer. Could you imagine if we could apply that one scripture in our communication? Okay, wait, is this going to apply grace, or is it just corrupt and mean and terrible? That doesn't mean you don't correct, but are you doing it graciously, or doing it with the right heart and the right attitude? Man, what a difference that would make in any relationship, but especially in the dating and marriage relationship. Let your speech always be with grace, seasoned with salt, that you may know how you ought to answer each other. You know, salt is a preservative. So we're supposed to have grace for each other and have preserving words. Make things preserved that they will last and be better for us. 1 Peter 3:7 says, husbands, likewise, dwell with them, which is your wives, with understanding, giving honor to your wife as the weaker vessel and as being heirs together of the grace of life, that your prayers may not be hindered. How many of us want our prayers hindered? Nobody, right? If we're not giving grace, husband, I'm just talking to the guys now, wives, plug your ears. Husbands, you're not plugging your ears. Husbands, if we're not giving grace to our wives, we wonder why, gee, I feel like God's not hearing my prayers. Sometimes it's because we're in that sin. We're not giving the grace to our spouses that we need to give to them. 1 Peter 5:5 says, likewise, you younger people, submit yourself to the elders. Yes, all of you being subject to one another and clothed with humility, for God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. If we're prideful, he's not going to give us as much grace. We talked about before, be kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, just as God also forgave you. We want God to forgive us, but yet we won't forgive others. We want grace and mercy from God, and we want grace and mercy from others, but a lot of times we're not giving it to the others that we need to. Okay, I'm going to share a little bit on mercy with you. Now, I only have about 350 more scriptures to go through, so we're going to have a late dinner. Obviously, I'm not going through all of them, and I keep skipping more as we go through, because the main thing is getting to understand God's mercy and grace, and then we want to talk about applying it in our marriages. The first whole section I have is most of Exodus, which talks about the mercy seat of God. How many of you have heard of the mercy seat of God? It's amazing, right? That's where God communes, and we want, and it's a mercy seat because he wants to make sure you know he's giving out mercy, and he wants to give out mercy to everyone. I'm not going to read all of them. I've got 3 pages worth of those. I'll put them over here. But if you ever want to do a study on God's mercy, just look at the mercy seat of God. And the detail God put in that mercy seat because of how important it was. It wasn't just like, well, there's the mercy seat. No, it's detailed in every aspect. 1 Corinthians 16:34, oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endures forever. Nehemiah 9:31, nevertheless, in your great mercy, you did not utterly consume them nor forsake them, for you, O God, are gracious and merciful. Psalm 13:5, but I have trusted in your mercy, my heart shall rejoice in your salvation. Psalm 23:6, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. I'm sure many of you have heard that at funerals. It's surely goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life, and I'm going to dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Awesome. Psalm 25:7. Do not remember the sins of my youth. Can we all say that? Many of us can. Nor my transgressions. According to your mercy, remember me for your goodness sake, O Lord. Man, don't let the enemy rip you off and bring up the sins of your youth. Confess them to God and move forward and be clean with him. I think I told you last month, we talked about the difference between conviction and condemnation, right? Conviction is when God convicts you and you do something wrong, you repent. This is an abbreviated version of it. You repent and you ask God for forgiveness, and he literally casts your sin as far as east is from the west, meaning he never sees him again. We keep trying to pull him out of the dirty laundry bag, but he doesn't see him again. Condemnation is when you know that you've sinned and you say, oh man, I've blown it. And the enemy says, that's right, you've blown it. And oh man, I'll never be forgiven for this. And the enemy says, yeah, that's right. So you might as well do more, right? You might as well take it to the next step. You might as well keep sinning. That's where the enemy's taking you and ripping you off. Don't allow that to happen. Don't allow condemnation to happen. When you're convicted, repent. Realize that you have a just, merciful, gracious God, and he's going to forgive you and cast those sins away and move you forward in him. Does that make sense to you guys? You guys are real quiet. Okay. Psalm 25:7. Do not remember this. I already said that one. Let me go on. Psalm 30:10. Hear, O Lord, and have mercy on me, Lord. Be my helper. Cry out to him. Ask him to be your helper. Psalm 61:7. He shall abide before God forever. O prepare mercy and truth, which may preserve me. Psalm 66:20. Blessed be God, who has not turned away my prayers, nor his mercy from me. Psalm 86:5. For you, Lord, are good and ready to forgive, and abundant in mercy to all those who call upon you. How many of you remember Gail Irwin? Do you remember he'd always go, abundant to forgive? Because he would constantly talk about the grace and mercy of God. So if there's something you need forgiveness for, call upon him. He will forgive you. Psalm 86:15, but you, O Lord, are a God full of compassion and gracious, long-suffering, and abundant in mercy and truth. Psalm 105, for the Lord is good, his mercy is everlasting, and his truth endures for all generations. Again, he doesn't run out of it. He's full of grace. He's full of mercy. He's there for you. He wants to give you grace. He wants to give you mercy all the time. Now, there's a whole section in Psalms. I'm not going to read them all, but it says, like, let those who fear the Lord now say, his mercy endures forever. And then it says, oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endures forever. And there's like 30 scriptures like that that will say, he's the God of heaven, and his mercy endures forever. I'm just going to throw a couple. He made the lights great, and his mercy endures forever. He rules by day, and his mercy endures forever. The moon and the stars are at his right hand, and his mercy endures forever. And he brought us out of Israel, and his mercy endured forever. Israel passed through the midst of it, and his mercy endures forever. He destroyed the armies of the Red Sea, and his mercy endures forever. It goes on and on and on and on. Do you think his mercy is important in his grace? If you want to know if something's important to God, now, every word in the Bible is important to God, right? But if God says and is talking about something in the scripture over 550 times, it must be really important for us to understand his mercy and his grace. Micah 6:8 says, he has shown you, O man, what is good and what the Lord requires of you, but to do justly, to love mercy, and to walk humbly before your God. If we walk humbly before God, we will see and feel his mercy also. Micah 7:18, who is God like? You, pondering iniquity and passing over the transgressions of the remnant of his heritage. He does not retain his anger forever because he delights in mercy. Some of the times, I mean, honestly, there are times when I'm an ex-Catholic where I thought, God's never going to forgive me. He's going to be angry with me forever. But he doesn't. He wants to give you mercy and grace. Just call upon him. Thus says the Lord of hosts, execute truth, justice, show mercy and compassion, every one of you to his brother. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall receive mercy. As we talked about, do you want to receive mercy? Then give mercy out too. Matthew 9:13. But go and learn what this means. I desire mercy and not sacrifice, for I did not come to call the righteous, but the sinners to repentance. He called all of us who are sinners. We know that we're sinners. We call upon him. He has mercy on us and grace on us, and will forgive us of all of that. Luke 1:50, and his mercy is on those who fear him from generation to generation. Romans 12:8, he who exhorts in exhortation, he who gives will give liberally, he who leads with diligence, and he who shows mercy with cheerfulness. We're supposed to give mercy to people cheerfully. Like, oh, I'm going to give you mercy, but I really would rather backhand you. That's Italian for hit you. Therefore, since I have this ministry, as we receive mercy, do not lose heart. Again, don't lose heart. God's mercy is there for you when you need it and you call upon him. He will give it to you. Okay. Hebrews 4:16, let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help and help in the time of need. We can come boldly to God and ask for his mercy and grace, and he's going to give it to us. And I want us then to be able to, by the end of the night, ask for and be able to ask for and give mercy and grace to each other, and know that we can come boldly before each other and give that to each other. So, I'm going to share a little bit of some of the things we need to do for grace and mercy to kind of prime the pump. But then we're going to talk to you guys, and I want some real interaction about what mercy and grace is to you and how you've used it to your benefit. Okay, you see someone's cranky, like I was last week, okay? Do you give them the benefit of the doubt that maybe they're having a bad day or not feeling well? Or do you just retaliate or treat them badly? We need to give people mercy and grace, understanding they might be just having a bad day. How about raising our children? Do we need to give our kids mercy and grace? We do, don't we? I remember as clear as day getting really angry at my daughter. And I'm going, I can't believe it. I can't believe it. Why are you acting like? And the Lord says, a six-year-old? She was 6 years old. Why are you acting like a six? You're 6 years old. What am I expecting? Here, I didn't have mercy and grace on my six-year-old. I was expecting her to be something that she could never be. And we sometimes do that with each other, don't we? We expect someone to be somebody or something they're not at all. And your kids need to be able to give you mercy and grace, don't they? How many of you are parents? How many of you have never made a mistake with your kids? Because you don't have any. Okay, so we know we're not perfect. We know we need mercy and grace from our kids. Are we willing to ask them, hey, give me mercy and grace, or I don't feel good, or I made a mistake, or I'm sorry? We need to be willing to do that with our kids too. You know, we found with ourselves, as we've told our children, our kids, hey, I'm sorry, or, you know, I know I shouldn't have restricted you for 30 years. We'll reduce your penalty. They're forgiving. And they need to see that. They need to see that we're willing to say, I made a mistake. I need mercy. Dad's sorry. He has not had a bad day today. My boss wrote me up, Pastor John. No, I'm kidding. But really, wherever you're working, the boss wrote me up. I did something I shouldn't have done, and it wasn't terrible. But yet now I'm not looked at as bad. So Dad didn't do what he should have done. Please forgive me. Have some mercy and grace on me. We need to be willing to say that to our kids, so that they can see reality, that we're willing to ask for forgiveness, and we're willing to admit that again. Like I said, nobody could raise their hand to say, I've never made a mistake raising my kids. Next question. How many of you have never said anything mean or wrong to your spouse or someone you're dating? It happens. So we need grace and mercy in our relationships. Now I'm going to say something that, and I know I have a parking attendant here. Do you know how much grace and mercy you guys need pulling into the parking lot on Sundays? Which is, on a side note, we need more parking attendants. So if God might be calling you to help direct traffic, and I'm going to tell you the definition of a good parking attendant, because this is what the good ones are doing. Okay, they're giving grace and mercy. Because many of you are coming in like, that's my spot! Who parked in my spot? No, I want to go that way. I mean, literally, the guys could be going like this, and they're in the nice vest. It's shiny. And at night, we have flashlights. And we're going like this, and they go the other way. And you could either, as a parking attendant, get mad and yell at them. You could say, well, okay, Lord, put them in the Lord's hands. As a parking attendant, they have to give grace and mercy to us. We need to give grace and mercy to them when they're telling you to park over here, too. There's usually a reason for it. Same with ushers. You're coming in, and an usher tells you to sit over here. And he might even say, sit over here. Now, that's not the right way to say it. He's got a problem. But how do you know what's going on in his life? Do you know that pastors have bad days? We do. Do you know that ushers do, that parking attendants do? We all have bad days. We need to give each other grace and mercy. We need to pray for them. Maybe something's going on in their life. I mean, I remember my brother Mike. I still remember him. I know him really well. He's a pastor at Boise in Idaho, at Eagle, Idaho. And he was on staff at Calvary Downey for years. And then at Boise, Idaho. And now he has his own church in Eagle, Idaho that the Lord's blessing. And he used to work in the print industry on print presses. And I remember he shared this story, and he said, you know, here I am being a punk, blah, 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 blah. And this guy comes up, and he's acting weird. And I said, what's wrong with you? You're acting like somebody died, like your best friend died or something. The guy started crying, this grown man. And the other guy said, his best friend did die. We don't know what's going on with the people that we're working with, that we're standing there with. They could be going through terrible stuff, and we're not giving them the benefit of the doubt or giving them some grace and mercy to go forward. Enough about parking, but if you do want to join the ministry, please see me afterwards, because we do need more. Honestly, you know, I look at it, and a side note, I really do. I look at the parking ministry as the directors of first impression and the directors of last impression. I mean, because the first thing you guys see are the parking attendants. The last thing you see are the parking attendants. You see then the ushers. You see when you drop off children's ministry. You see the greeters. And literally, somebody new that's visiting this church, before they hear the word of God, they already have an impression of this church. And if they're sitting next to you and you're just giving them a dirty look because their purse is next to you, maybe they're looking at you that way too. And we need to be more welcoming to other people and have grace and mercy for everyone in that. I won't get into the freeways. Anybody drive the freeway to work? That's crazy what we have to do. Again, I want you to continually consider what the other person might be going through, including your spouse. Now, I want you to share some of the ways that you've been given mercy or grace by your spouse or by the person you're dating or just by your parents, by whoever. And let's talk about that a little bit to help each other to know these are the things we need to do. Again, I don't want to lie to you. I have 40 items. A lot of them aren't important compared to what you might have to say. So I'm going to ask any of you that would have anything to share, to share. Anybody want to share some way that you've received or given grace or mercy? It's going to be a real short night if no one shares. Nobody? Okay, I'll share a couple things and maybe that will help. Okay, I want to talk about, again, where the rubber meets the road. It needs to start at home. The most important person to us or people to us, according to the Bible, let alone period, should be your husband and wife relationship and your children. Anybody disagree with me? Because if you do, show it to me in the Bible. And that's what I would always tell my kids. So the most important relationship, the most important thing is your relationship with God, but then on earth is with your husband and wife and with your children. Is that right? We can all agree on that. Then who should we give the most grace and mercy to? Your spouse, exactly. I see it all the time, and I've been guilty of it at times also, where you're giving out all day, you're giving mercy and grace to those you work with, you're giving mercy and grace, you're giving mercy and grace, and you come home, and you don't give mercy and grace to your spouse. Or the spouse, the wife's taking care of the kids all day if she's not working, and now she's had a bad day, whatever happened, and the husband comes home and there's no mercy and grace. You have no idea what I've been going through all day. Well, you have no idea what he's been going through all day either. We need to give mercy and grace to each other constantly. We give too many times the short end of the stick to our spouses. Anybody want to say amen to that? Amen. It's just the truth. Because one of the things we say is, well, they're understand. That's a cop-out. You know, honestly, when I've been, like I said, I've been cranky this week. I haven't been feeling good, and some things have been going on, and I've been struggling, and I've got sinus things. Those are all excuses, though, because I shouldn't still be cranky to my wife. So I can't say and didn't. Well, you need to just understand. I'm having a bad week, and I don't feel good. And I probably, who knows if I might have said it if I wasn't going through the study. I mean, right? Let's be honest. God takes you through things so that you could learn and share practical experience. This week has been hard for me in just a lot of areas. I'm not in sin. I just haven't been feeling good. My sinuses are wigging out. I'm not getting enough sleep because of a lot of situations. So I've been a little more grouchy. And my wife's been gracious to me. She was merciful. She didn't kill me. Everything, we're still doing good. So, but honestly, okay, let's, some of the things I have on here. Here's something I've seen that really, honestly, I'm going to tell you, it bothers me. And if you want to argue with me, we can argue outside. I'm kidding. The wife's driving the car and she scratches it. She comes home and she's scared to death to tell her husband that she scratched the car because he's going to be mad and yell and scream. I'm not going to ask for a raise of hands of who's ever done this. If you've ever been mad because your spouse has scratched the car or done something like that. Again, benefit of the doubt. Do you think they on purpose tried to scrape it against the garage? But what it shows, if you're not giving grace and mercy in that, is that thing is your God, and it's surely more important than your spouse. So that's one example in just day-to-day stuff where we as spouses could be not giving grace and mercy where we need to. How about filling up the gas tank? It happens, right? The last person used the car, and now you're going, and it's on empty. It happens. Do we get mad and yell and scream, or do we say, you know, I'm sure there's a good reason. I'm going to go put gas in the car. There's a really good series in a book called Cherish. I recommend you getting it. We're looking at even possibly doing the series in the near future, but it talks about how we're supposed to cherish one another and look at each other's weaknesses and thank God that for whatever it is, and be there for them and support them through the weaknesses. How about the person's just tired? You know, they're tired. They're not feeling well. Should we give them grace and mercy or say, I'm sick of you being tired? How How about, here's one I always talk about. How about not taking out the trash? I've shared with you guys before. That was one of my things I didn't do for a long time. It was like Adele had to constantly go, honey, the trash is overflowing. That's, you need to take it out. And so we finally, you guys have probably all heard the story. Right? Who hasn't heard the story? Okay, some of you. So to make it fun, instead, we tease that taking out the trash is sexy. Okay? So now she'll go, hey, hon, the trash is, she doesn't have to do it anymore because now I'll tell you what we do now. Anyway, she'll go, hey, hon, the trash is full. Why don't you go take it out? I think it's sexy when you take the trash out. Make it fun. And so now she doesn't have to say that because you know what I do? I go over and I go, I'm taking the trash out because I want her to see something sexy with me. Honestly, seriously, we can't take each other so seriously that we don't have fun too. Amen? We have to love the Lord. I believe God has a sense of humor and he wants us to enjoy each other and have fun together. Okay, here's something, and I'm going to say it. How about when it's your wife's time of the month? Does it happen? Amen. Amen, brother. And if you have three women in the house, it seems like they all do it the same week, right? They get on the same schedule. It happens every month. Okay, now, do you know it happens every month? Amen. And it seems like they're all at the same time now, right? That's just how it ends up happening. I have two daughters also. Are you prepared that week to give grace and mercy? I'm serious. Be prepared. Hey, do you know that she might be a little more touchy that week and things that normally don't really bother are probably going to bother her that week? Do you know that? Then give grace and mercy and say, okay, this too shall pass. The Bible says this too shall pass, and this too shall pass. Okay, now, from the reverse perspective, wives, do you know each month you have a time of the month? Do you? Do you say, I need to give my husband grace and mercy because he might not be remembering, or because I might be a little more sensitive or a little more cranky at that time? Does that make sense? So realizing reality. Reality is that time of the month, the wife could be more cranky. So be more sensitive, give more grace and mercy. Wife, realizing that time of the month, I'm probably a little more cranky. I need to give him grace. It's probably not as bad as I'm thinking it is. So I'm going to give grace and mercy. Okay, there, I said it. It's true, though, right? Anything else? Then anybody want to have? I primed the pump. Come on, you guys. Nothing, anybody? Did you want to say? Menopause. That's true. When your wife's going through menopause, those of you who, as you get older and married longer, it's true. It's a change of life for them, and we need to walk through that with them and be gracious and mercy. And you need to be able to tolerate a lot of heat next to you at times. It's true. Because I'm just telling you the truth. She'll go, oh, it's bacon in here. I go, now I'm hot. I wasn't a minute ago. Yes.
Okay, I'm going to share.
Okay.
Okay.
Marry that man. No, but honestly, Now, what would have been the outcome if he would have been, I can't believe it. You locked the keys in the car and went on and on. They might not even be here tonight. That's the truth. Instead, he had grace and mercy on her and said, hey, this could happen. Okay, what am I going to do? Choose the right thing to say and do, guys. And you might end up finding the right guy and so on. So, okay, anybody else have anything? Yes. With the lights on?
And I made it 48 miles.
Wow.
But that in the space of 24 years, I can't count how many times we ran out of gas. Because, oh, come on, we're just going to push it just a little bit.
Thank you. Honestly, you guys, I'm telling you, when we talk about practical things in this, this is reality. This is life, right? This is stuff that we need to deal with. And how do you deal with it? If you deal with it improperly, you're not going to have a husband or a wife. Or if you are, it's going to be grumpy bear, not really good stuff. Anybody else have something they want to share? Yes.
I tend to have the notorious foot and mouth disease. Mm.
You're a man. Sorry.
And, you know, her and I are dating for a while, but I always tend to say the dumbest thing at the most wrong of the time.
Mm.
Like in front of other people.
Mm.
But she still forgives me and she's still with me.
Wow.
So, to me, that's mercy and grace enough.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Marry that woman. Yes. It'll be good. If not, you need to give her mercy and grace. God bless you, brother. Amen. Amen. That's God stuff. That's good. Thank you for sharing that. And thank you for doing that. Don't stop. Anybody else? I'm hearing whispers like, can I share this? How much mercy and grace will I have to give you if you share it? How about things like deaths? Loss of family members. I'm telling you, you know, when I lost my youngest brother, I was wacko on and off for a little bit. And I was having to deal with a lot of other stuff with the estate and so on and so forth. And my wife had to give me grace and mercy through that. When we lost my mother-in-law, Della went through a real tough time. And what do? Get mad at her because she's grieving and going through it? Or do you support? You support one. Loss is a huge thing, you guys. If you haven't lost somebody you really love or are really close to, when it happens, the other partner, you need to be there for them. You need to give them grace and mercy because it just whacks you out. It whacks you out for a while. It's just the truth. It whacks you out for a while. Family problems. By family problems, I'm talking about whether it's your kids, or whether it's your brother that lives in Texas and you're having conversations with him and he's posting things on Facebook about you that are not very nice and not even true. And we need to give each other grace and mercy in those areas also. Remember something. How many of you have gone through Love and Respect? The Great series, great book. If you can go through it, go through it. We'll hopefully have it again in the future. But he constantly says something. He says, not wrong, just different, right? Let's say that. Not wrong, just different. My wife's not usually wrong. She's just different than me. We don't want two of me around here. But honestly, she's different than I am, and we could complement each other in our strengths and weaknesses, or we can fight all the time. But men are supposed to be different than women. And when there's those differences, look at them as things that can help you to grow as you grow through God's grace and mercy and learn on what he wants. How about food and eating? Where do you want to go for dinner? Let's talk about reality stuff, right? Where do you want to go for dinner? I don't care. Wherever you want to go, right? Let's go to Claro's. Not Claro's. Does it happen? Mercy and grace. Okay. Well, then where do you really want to go? Give each other that grace and mercy. How about disciplining children? Oh, man, you know. We need to have the right heart and attitude with our kids and help each other in that. You know, when the other thing is, my wife and I have said this. We've been married, and you guys, this coming Tuesday, we'll be married 42 years. Thank you. Thank you. She still likes me, not only loves me. That's a blessing. But we say this, there's this one saying we say, and that's when you don't have a lot of sleep. When you have a lot of kids or young kids, a lot of times you don't get enough sleep, correct? And a lot of times with your job or whatever, you don't get a lot of sleep, which causes you to be cranky, and we need more mercy and grace for each other. So if your wife's not getting enough sleep because she's up with the kid all the time, so give them grace and mercy. And Dell and I, there's this saying that we say all the time, and that's that the lack of sleep makes cowards of us all. Does that make sense? Everything's so much more of a problem. There's times now when we'll say, are you all right? Yeah, if I just get a little more sleep, I'm sure I'll be fine. We recognize those things and are willing to communicate them to each other. How many of you women have ever been pregnant? Men? Were you learning mercy and grace? You learn mercy and grace through that. She's pregnant. Her hormones are going crazy. Things are happening. We need to give each other mercy and grace out of that. How about the loss of a job? If you've ever lost a job, that could put you in a depression or just craziness. And we need to give each other grace and mercy in that and support each other in that. We're supposed to be each other's helpmates. How about this? How about if you just woke up on the wrong side of the bed? Have you ever done that? Now I'm still on the same side of the bed, but I woke up on the wrong side of the bed, right? There's this old saying thing that says, Lord, I've been doing really good. I haven't thought any mean thoughts. I haven't yelled. I haven't screamed. Everything's going wonderful, but I'm getting out of bed now, so be there with me. We sometimes we just wake up and we're just not all there. I won't say you just need coffee, but you're just not all there. Give each other grace and mercy. Galatians 5:22-26 says, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such there is no law. And those who are Christ have crucified their flesh. Remember last month we talked about crucifying our bodies, laying ourselves down on the altar, and presenting our bodies a living sacrifice. The problem with that is it's a living sacrifice and we keep trying to crawl off the altar where God's trying to work with us. We need to continue to crucify our flesh and its passions and desires. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. And let us not become conceited, provoking one another and envying one another. And we've talked about almost every month, 1 Corinthians 13, the love chapter, that you could take that and post it on your refrigerator to help you remember, this is what true love is, patient, kind, long-suffering. This is who Christ is. And then when you think you're something, go put your name in it. George is patient, George is kind, George is long-suffering. You don't get very far to realize George is not perfect. George has his problems. And you can handle and have a different attitude towards your spouse from that point forward. Ephesians 4:32 again says, be kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, just as God, for Christ's sake, also forgave you. Christ forgave us as much. He's merciful and gracious to us. And he wants us to be merciful and gracious to other people. I'm going to pray, and the worship team's going to come up, and we're going to sing the song one more time. I'd ask the husbands and wives and those that are dating engaged, join hands and think about how and what God wants to do in your life to help you to be more merciful, more gracious, and just be a better person, not just with your spouse, but with everyone you come into contact with. Give them the grace and mercy that God wants them to have. Let me pray, and then they're going to close in a song. Lord, we come before you. We thank you for this time. I thank you for each couple that's here. I ask that you'd fill them with your spirit, that you'd fill them full of your mercy and grace, your love, your strength. And Lord, that they were to have endurance in this and not give up. Lord, that if one feels that they're giving more mercy and grace, they would just even give more mercy and grace and do what you've called them to do and be obedient to you, Lord, totally. And Lord, we ask that as this song, as we sing it, that we'll sing it and mean it, that we want and need your compassion, that we want and need your love, and that we will give it to others. In Jesus' name.